him. Catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, the Chiefs, absolutely dominant, I thought, really on both sides of the ball in all phases. I mean, this is one of the most complete games that we've seen, you know, and building off of that Denver game, it just seems like since that Titans loss, this Chiefs team has gotten better and better and better week after week. How encouraged are you by what you've seen and the upward trend that this team seems to be on?
I was hoping to see more in the Sunday night football game. I was hoping to see the offense have a little bit more explosion to it, but the Bears were trying to keep the Chiefs from going deep, and I'll end up seeing that in the coach's film probably. But the Chiefs had to take what the defense gave him. There's times during the season where Patrick wouldn't have liked that. He would have tried to push the ball down the field. So that shows his growth on that end. And it's something the Chiefs are going to have to get comfortable with because teams are going to want to take that away from him and make him drive the football down the field. But that worked out to their advantage because it helps keep the defense off the field and gives them significant rest. So I think the Chiefs have found a good balance in the past handful of weeks, and they've learned their lesson from scoring too early and putting the defense on the field too much.
See, and that's what's so encouraging to me about this is, you know, you heard him talk about playing complimentary football and stuff like that, but it was lip service because last year the defense wasn't good enough to complement anything. I mean, last year you were just hoping to outscore teams and praying against all, you know, against all odds the defense could somehow force a field goal attempt. Now the defense isn't giving up anything but field goals. I mean, they've got the, I mean, literally since you know, I think in like the last 9 weeks of the season or something, they've got the best scoring defense in the NFL. They haven't allowed a team to score over 20 points in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, I think they can actually play complimentary football now. I mean, they can, you know, have a game like this where they can grind the win out, where they can control the ball and win time of possession and still have, you know, Kelce and Tyreek Hill play good football, still have Patrick Mahomes be accurate. But you know, I mean, it may not have been as thrilling as some, you know, as the Rams game last year, but wouldn't you rather see the Chiefs dominate and win as opposed to play shootouts and lose?
I just want to see them win. I don't care how.
Well, I guess that's my point, is like last year, I mean, as electrifying as that Monday night game was, they lost because they gave up 54 freaking points, you know? And I mean, they've gone, what, like 5 weeks without giving up 54 points this year, you know, the last 5 weeks. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're turning a corner at the right time. I feel like they're peaking at the right time. Offensively, you talked about how, you know, I mean, obviously the Bears were playing deep. You know, the Chiefs had trouble with Khalil Mack. Did that raise any eyebrows for you that both Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz had trouble with him, or did you just tip your cap to a guy like Khalil Mack?
Khalil Mack's an elite pass rusher, and the Chiefs, there's only a handful of guys that can have the impact that Khalil could. So they were looking. Schwartz, ever since he had his leg injury, he just hasn't looked the same overall, and he's gotten beat on the edge a handful of times that he normally wouldn't have whenever he's fully healthy. So we'll see how things go in the playoffs in that regard, and we'll see how the interior does whenever it comes to playoff time. Because right now, again, this offense's team, it comes down to how the running backs do, how they fare, and how the interior blocking fares. It's going to decide whether the Chiefs do or don't go to the Super Bowl.
Were you encouraged to see Damian Williams get back out there and have a couple plays where he flashed a little bit tonight? I mean, is that good news, or, you know, I mean, is it, you know, is it hard to take anything from this one?
Show it to me in the playoffs, and then I'll be impressed.
On the positive side, this is only the second time since Patrick Mahomes got injured that the Chiefs have had over 100 yards rushing. It's the first time since that Minnesota game where it wasn't Patrick Mahomes who was the leading rusher for that team. The only other time they did it was, if you remember, the Chargers game on Monday Night Football down in Mexico City, where Mahomes had 59 yards rushing. You know, I mean, Do you think they found something in the run game? Because especially late, they were able to drain that clock in the fourth quarter. Damian Williams, Darwin Thompson, they were able to just kind of impose their will a little bit, which is something we have not seen the Chiefs be able to do very often.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. The Bears look disinterested after halftime. So the Bears are 1 week away from vacation. So they're more than happy to kind of just do what they got to do, but move on about their day. So both football teams honestly looked disinterested after halftime. So people were just trying to get out of there without being injured. And Chiefs were trying to get one step closer to the playoffs, while the Bears were trying to get one step closer to Acapulco.
Well, by playoffs, number two seed, because that's still in play for the Chiefs. Do you have any faith that the Miami Dolphins can actually win in New England next Sunday and give the Chiefs that crack at the number two seed in that bye?
I'm not banking my hopes and dreams on it.
History suggests that former Bill Belichick disciples do not have good luck in matchups against him. Brian Flores, obviously former linebackers coach, now the coach of the Dolphins. Having said that, though, Matt Patricia and the Lions did kind of take the Patriots behind the woodshed last year. So, you know, do you think maybe they'll share notes?
It seems like former defensive minds under Bill Belichick, whether it's Vrabel with the Titans or Patricia with the Lions, they've had success in recent years. So, I mean, you're hoping Brian Flores can figure something out, but again, it's the Dolphins, and I'm not putting my life savings on them coming out with a W. I hope they do. I'm just not going to.
Come on. For Ariel Rothfield, 1 week of Fitzmagic. That's all we need, right?
Like I said, I'm not betting my savings on it.
All right. Well, but obviously the Chiefs, Andy Reid said it after the game, they're going to go for the win against the Chargers. They still have that opportunity. Travis Kelce, there were times early this season where Travis Kelce had some drops, where Travis Kelce seemed disinterested as well. You know, I mean, it seemed like they were having a hard time getting him to be in the game. The last couple weeks, though, we're seeing, the best of Travis Kelce, I think. I mean, he's setting records. He's making plays. What do you make of, is Kelce kind of, is he playing it at the top of his game right now?
No, I mean, he's doing pretty well right now. I mean, defenses are, the Bears went after him earlier whenever they were doing a lot of their chipping with the defensive ends and then trying to use some of their zone coverage, but they seemed to give up on that and were worried more about Tyreek beating them deep and Hardman and some of those guys beating them deep, so they backed off, and so Kelce had another successful night. So, I mean, we'll see what happens whenever playoff time rolls around, what defense they face and potentially in the wild card round, and then what they do if they have to go to Baltimore or New England. It'll be interesting.
Record-setting night for Patrick Mahomes. I think, 251 yards tonight. It wasn't an overly impressive performance, which is odd to say because three touchdown games don't happen for a lot of quarterbacks on an every week basis. But Mahomes, he's played 30 career games now, over 9,000 yards, more than 75 touchdowns, or at 75 touchdowns. Both marks are the fastest in NFL history. I mean, what more can you say about Patrick Mahomes and the grit he's shown this year and the leadership and the toughness and just the overall skill, and just the job he did? Because you think about Khalil Mack. We talk about how great a night Khalil Mack had. You look at his stat line. There aren't a lot of sacks. There's not a lot of production to show for as often as he, whipped the tackles behind around the edge tonight.
Patrick did a good job staying in the pocket and moving around in the pocket to either buy his offensive linemen some more time. He wasn't dipping out too early, and he wasn't scrambling for his life too much. So he did a good job. He felt comfortable and confident in the pocket. So that was the most encouraging thing I took out of it. And like I said, he took what the defense gave him, and he's willing to take the checkdowns, and he was willing to take some of the short and intermediate routes versus trying to always push the ball down the field.
He would not just come out and say anything. I mean, Patrick's he's a polite young man. But after that touchdown to make it 17-10 late in the second quarter, the NBC cameras caught him counting on his fingers up to 10. Do you kind of like that low-key swagger, that low-key chip that he plays with? I mean, how do you think that impacts Patrick and his preparation, the way he goes about playing the game?
I think Patrick wants to be the best, regardless of whether the cameras are or aren't watching. So he enjoys being out there on the football field and playing, and he wants to perform at the highest level, and he wants to take advantage of every opportunity. So, I mean, you hope he gets those stages to be able to do it on a national scale and to be able to perform at the level that people expect.
Look, I love it personally. I mean, the only quarterback taken ahead of Patrick Mahomes in the draft was Mitch Trubisky, and they downplayed it all week. And you know, and Patrick's not going to come out and say anything, to denigrate Mitch Trubisky, right? I mean, he's not going to go that route. But you could tell it meant something to him. You know, I mean, he wanted to make sure the Bears knew that they had, you know, look, you had a chance to draft me, you didn't. And I kind of like the fact that he's got that swagger. I love the fact that he ended up with Andy Reid, because I think that pairing gave Patrick Mahomes the best chance to develop that talent. And then, you know, you give him the year behind Alex Smith as a mentor. I think Patrick was lucky to land in the situation that he did. I don't know that he would have been as good if he'd gone to Chicago and didn't have that veteran presence to sit behind and didn't have Andy Reid to help groom him. But I think the Chiefs should feel very fortunate. And Chicago's lost. Kansas City's gain.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I'm glad that he's in Kansas City. I'm glad that I get to watch him. I'm glad the Chiefs fans get to watch him. They have their homegrown franchise quarterback. And, I mean, there's a lot of scenarios he could have gone where it wouldn't have gone as well as it has. Just like for Lamar Jackson, he went to an ideal situation where he had a forward-thinking coach in John Harbaugh, who was willing to bring in a guy who's going to bring out his best, and Greg Roman, who had done something similar with Kaepernick. And then, I mean, Josh Allen, you know, he's not the most ideal quarterback in the world, and Carson Wentz is better than he's performing in Philly. But I just don't think he has Frank Wright and Joe DeFlippiano to kind of work with him. He's got Doug, and Doug ain't going to cut it on that one. And then Matt Nagy, unfortunately, he's a guy who he's a talented coach, but he needs a much better quarterback than the one he inherited in Chicago.
All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, let's spend some time talking about that defense, all right, here on 4th and 1.
Chiefs, you give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, this stat shocked me a little bit, because even though you think of Andy Reid as an offensive guy, I still remember some good defensive teams in Philadelphia. I mean, I still remember some good defensive players. You know, I remember, you know, Jim Johnson and the blitzes. And look, I feel like there were times that Philadelphia had very good defenses. The last 2 weeks, though, first time in Andy Reid's career as head coach that his defense has given up 3 points or fewer in back-to-back weeks. That's great. That's incredible to me. I mean, how much stock do you put into that stat? I mean, look, yeah, it was Denver and a rookie quarterback in the snow at Arrowhead 1 week when they, you know, and then it's Mitch Trubisky and a team that, you know, like you said, has already been eliminated. Maybe he's checked out a little bit with the Chicago Bears this year, but still, that's hard to do in the NFL. And it's very impressive to me.
Here's the thing that people have, when people try to discredit those stats, the problem is they've raised the bar. They've raised the bar on what they think the Chiefs defense should be and potentially is by some of the national games they watch against the Broncos and Packers. And so they think that's where that Chiefs defense is at and should be. So because they've raised their bar, they forgot where the bar used to be whenever the Chiefs couldn't stop anything last year or this year, whenever people were worried it didn't matter who the running back was. Was Timmy Timmerson going to get 175 yards on the Chiefs' run defense? It was possible. You were scared of every single running back who had remotely any athleticism was going to put up 100 on them. So, I mean, when you look at where the bar was to where the bar's at now, I mean, that's kind of the thing, is people always want to raise the expectations based on what they've seen there. And, well, it was against this offense and that offense. Yeah, well, early part of the season, those offenses would have lit them up still. Last year, those offenses would have lit up Bob Sutton. So, I mean, that's kind of the reality you got to take into it. Because, I mean, the Patriots on Saturday night look like world beaters against the Bills, and they're not. I promise you they're not. And the Patriots are an awful offense when you take away Julian Edelman. So, and the Bills are a better defense than what they showed against the Patriots. But I'm not going to discredit what the Chiefs have done and what that defense has built and how they've put it together, because they can win in the playoffs with that type of performance on a regular basis. Now, is it going to get tougher against a Lamar Jackson or Brady in a clutch situation or something of that nature, or Deshaun Watson, some of that read option? Yeah, it's going to be tougher, but I mean, they have a fighting chance.
And I don't think they did last year. I mean, I always go back to Jared Goff's offense put up 54 points on the Chiefs on Monday night. And there was a lot that went into that week with the game moving and some pieces that, you know, shuffling around there. And obviously Todd Gurley was still healthy at the time, but 54, that's an obscene number of points to give up, especially to a mediocre quarterback in the NFL. And nobody seemed to bat an eye when it happened. I mean, it was just expected that was going to happen. And now, 3 out of the last 4 weeks, the Chiefs have held an opponent under 10 points. If you go back to the Denver game, or the Oakland game on December 1st. I mean, I agree. I mean, I just think that the, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, and the job that this group's doing, I mean, it's impressive. And I think that no matter what happens in the playoffs, you feel like this team can go, whether it's on the road, whether it's at home, whether it's snowing, whether it's 70 degrees and sunny, that this defense combined with this quarterback, and some of the weapons around him, has a chance to win every football game they're going to play. And I don't know that I felt that way about the Chiefs with their defense last year. I mean, you know, last year, just holding, you know, like I said, I mean, you're just, every time they got the ball, you're like biting down on a towel, just hoping there's a turnover or the other team commits a penalty, because you knew the chances were the defense wasn't going to stop them. They needed to stop themselves.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to add to that one.
Terrell Suggs, by the way, he obviously probably played a little bit more than people expected, although given the rotational situation with the Chiefs and their depth at defensive end, I think a fair number of snaps should have been expected. He got some pressures. Obviously, you'll know more when you actually get to study the tape and get to see how he did play to play. And there were a couple hiccups where it looked like, you know, Tyrann Mathieu had to kind of say, hey, man, you know, like, you know, hey, you're supposed to be here on this play or whatever. But I think that's, good to see him get his feet wet and good to see that he can still get after the quarterback a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was good to have him in there and good to see him set the edge. So I he did a good job setting the edge a handful of times, and he got Trubisky on that one play. So he gives him confidence that he can play in this defense and execute. So they're just going to have to keep building here in the next couple of weeks.
You know, Emmanuel Ogba was playing some really good football, maybe playing the best among all the Chiefs defensive ends early in the season. And then he went out. Alex Okafor, good pass rusher. We've talked about how he wasn't always great against the run. Do you think Terrell Suggs is a more complete player? I mean, with him, and do you eventually see it being him and Frank Clark as the bookend guys, kind of containing over there, as the top two guys in the rotation?
On rundowns, yes. On pass downs, I think he's going to rotate in with Passanio and potentially Harris if he can show more.
But in any case, the Chiefs were very fortunate, I think, to be able to get a player of his caliber at this point in the season when Okafor went on IR. It's a stroke of luck, and you got to give Veach credit for pulling the trigger and going to get him, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're very fortunate to get him this time of the year, so hopefully it is the move that puts them over the top.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice.
What if he gets a huge sack against Lamar Jackson in the AFC Championship game? Are you ready to dream that dream, Nick Jacobs, that he gets a game-clinching sack against Lamar Jackson in Baltimore against his former team that he spent 16 years with?
No.
Do you have that vision yet? Can you write that story?
No, I'm on to the Chargers.
Maybe it's the former newspaper man in me, but I tend to think in storylines, and that would be an incredible story to send the Chiefs to the Super Bowl.
I tend to think the week in front of me, so I'm not in a parking lot eating Wendy's whenever I build it up in my head over the next 4 months, whatever.
When Philip Rivers makes you cry next week. Maybe not cry, but
No, I'm saying
perspire water from your eyes.
I'm saying if that doesn't happen, Lamar Jackson and the Chiefs don't play the Ravens, or the Chiefs play the Ravens and it doesn't work out in their favor, I would have built that up in my head for 4 weeks, and there's not enough spicy chicken nuggets in the world that could have helped heal that sadness.
By the way, full credit to Charvarius Ward. Big fourth down stop against Allen Robinson. Look, I hate the fade pass. I think Chris Collinsworth had a great stat that it works about one out of every four times in the NFL over the last year or two. I can't remember what the time frame was. But, Charvarius Ward played it pretty well, and kept him out of the end zone. Anytime you have a defense that can keep a team out of the end zone in the NFL, I think you got to be pretty pumped about that performance.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd get the shutout, but, odds didn't work in their favor on that one.
Well, look, what were the odds that a Chicago kicker would actually make a kick? I mean,
No, they have something to build on.
There you go. That's right. They can take that positive into the offseason there in Chicago that it wasn't their kicker who hit both uprights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the curse is broken for them.
Way to go, Harrison Butker. Although he did a career-long 56-yard field goal, so we shouldn't pick on him too much.
I'm not picking on him.
All right, maybe it's just me. Anything else about that defense stand out to you? I mean, the linebackers, much maligned linebackers, seem to have settled in a little bit last month or so.
I'm in cruise control right now until playoffs, and then we'll go from there. We'll see who the matchup is, and we'll see if they can have the type of performances everybody's expecting, or if things go sideways and it's Tennessee all over again.
All right. Well, that's a nice tease for the C block. We'll be back here in 4th and 1.
When you're the home of the Chiefs, you give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, I want to take everybody through the playoff scenarios, because people keep talking
I want you to know you're way too hyper for midnight.
Yeah, well, I've had a lot of coffee, a lot of caffeine.
Apparently.
There's a lot at stake still next week. I think that, I think most Chiefs fans are aware that, like, on the off chance the Dolphins can beat the Patriots and the Chiefs beat the Chargers, they get the number 2 seed. But look, realistically, the Chiefs could still fall to the 4. If they lose to the Chargers and Houston beats the Titans, then they're the 4 seed, and then Buffalo's coming to town. But realistically, assuming the Chiefs beat the Chargers and assuming that the Patriots take care of business against Miami, the Chiefs are probably going to be that 3 seed. They're probably going to host the Titans if the Titans can beat Houston, or Pittsburgh, if Pittsburgh can beat a Baltimore team that probably is going to rest their guys because they've already clinched the number 1 overall seed. So why would you risk Pittsburgh injuring Lamar Jackson or any of your key players, right? I mean, I would assume that they would do what the Chiefs did, in what, 16 and 17, when they rested their guys in the final game against the Chargers because they couldn't improve their playoff seeding at all. So, I mean, maybe Mason Rudolph can beat a depleted Baltimore team. And then, of course, there's the crazy scenario where if the Ravens beat Pittsburgh and if Houston beats Tennessee and if the Raiders can win against Denver, then all of a sudden you got the Raiders in the playoffs at 8-8, and they're the ones coming to Kansas City. Do you have a preference on any of those teams? Or
yes, Raiders.
Well, I mean, obviously, but what's most realistic, and what do you who do you expect to see in Kansas City if Kansas City is in fact the number three seed?
No, I'm expecting it to be the Titans. If the Chiefs are the three seed, I think the Titans are going to be the they're going to come in here with a very explosive offense and a defense that's you know, it's looked a little bit better overall. So I think that's going to concern a lot of people and give them flashbacks to the previous game, and then Chiefs fans are going to make sure that Mike Pinnell is active on that day, and then we'll see from there. I mean, Pittsburgh's an interesting thing because their offense really,
really
struggles at the quarterback position. So, I mean, some ways Pittsburgh wouldn't be bad. Defensively, they would give the Chiefs a little bit of trouble in some spots. It would probably feel a lot like the Sunday night football game against the Bears did, but Titans, I think, would be really explosive football game, and the Chiefs' offense would have to be on point for that, and luckily, they would have had an opportunity to see them in advance. But, and then, yeah, so Raiders is my number one choice. Steelers is my two. Titans is my is the one that's going to be the closest.
In other words, go Dolphins.
I mean, that would be ideal.
No, that would. I'd
love to see Brady playing in the wild card.
Well, and I mean, basically, that's what I really felt like. That's what the Bills Patriots game on Saturday was. I felt like that was the game to decide whether the Chiefs are at New England or whether New England's at the Chiefs in the divisional round. I feel like there's an inevitability to that. But look, I personally kind of hope it's the Titans, and there's a perverse reason for it, but Patrick Mahomes has exercised a lot of demons for this Chiefs franchise since he came in. I think getting a win against the Titans in the playoffs at home and then going back to New England and having a chance to maybe end the reign of Tom Brady and the Patriots once and for all. You know, I mean, I think it would be fitting. I think it would be a lot of fun if it went that way. And that's honestly kind of what I expect.
Yeah. I mean, I hope the Chiefs get another shot at Brady. And we'll see where the road takes them. But, I mean, ideally, you'd love to play the Raiders and then go on the road against the Patriots if you have to and then finish off there in Baltimore. But that'd be a long 3 weeks and a lot of football there. So we'll see about this time next week what ends up transpiring.
All right. Hey, I feel like there's only one thing left to do, Nick.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it as passionately with my throat.
Check the tweets.
Okay, you can do it then.
So, I don't think I did it quite justice, but do I at least get a B for effort?
I'm just saying, if I would have done that, I would have started coughing, so that wouldn't have worked out well.
All right, Nick, you ready? Here we go. From at ChiefsKC23, which may be Patrick Mahomes' burner account based on the photo.
I highly doubt Patrick was tweeting a 4th-and-1 body.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he was doing after the game, after his posts, you know, after he got done with, you know, talking to the reporters with those luscious curls. But KC wants to know, we're on a winning streak. I believe one team in this winning streak has been a playoff team. So are we really for real, or is this like the year we went an 11-game winning streak and then lost against a legit team once we made it to the playoffs?
Look, I mean, here's the reality. You got to play at a high level no matter who you're playing against. So, I mean, there's a certain standard you have to set and you have to be. So, I mean, the reality of it is the Chiefs' interior offensive line and the run game is going to be the decision that's going to decide whether the Chiefs do or don't get to where they need to go. So, I mean, you know, the way I can say this is, I mean, they've performed at the level they need to, but they're going to have to perform at a better level when they get in the playoffs, and they're going to have to be more unpredictable in the playoffs if they want to win the Super Bowl.
Well, you did at least get some of your wish this week with Stefan Wisniewski playing, and I know you'll be excited to watch the game film and see whether he did. Was in fact a substantial upgrade there at left guard.
Oh, I already know the answer to that one. I didn't need to look at the time.
It'll still be a nice Christmas present for you.
Yes. All right. So your question is going to be, Oh, I just might as well go with this one. Sean asked, with Colquitt going back to punting three or less times a game, is it still realistic to think he has an MVP chance? Are the Chiefs' defense overshadowing his excellence?
Well, look, I think we can all agree that one of the turning points in the game was when he took one for the team and drew that running into the kicker penalty to extend the drive.
From his former teammate, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was. It was Kevin Pierre-Louis who he had. That was not Kevin Pierre-Louis's only highlight for the Chiefs. Unfortunately for him, he plays for the Bears. Spencer Ware also caught a nice pass on him later in the game. But look, of course, Dustin Colquitt is still the MVP of this team. I mean, that's pretty clear to anybody except, like, you know, all these people who think Patrick Mahomes is so good. I'm hoping he wins NFL Man of the Year. You know, and that would be a fitting honor, because I don't think they're going to give him MVP.
Tough break, Doug. Really tough break.
Okay.
You got one more question?
Sure, yeah. Let's go with this. Will they ever stop with the Mahomes should have been drafted higher stuff? There's no way Mahomes is this good without Reed. Do you agree with Charlie Jones' assessment?
Patrick found the one of the top three perfect situations for him to develop and for a guy to create an offense that's going to help him excel at a high level and going to help him work at the level he needed to become a great quarterback. There's only a couple other landing spots he could have gone, and Chicago without Matt Nagy was not going to be one of them. Matt Nagy went there because they needed somebody to develop Mitchell Trubisky to see if he was or wasn't the quarterback they were hoping for. They found out that was not the case. So I think there's a couple places where Patrick could have gone and it could have potentially worked out. Maybe the Houston Texans with Bill O'Brien could have potentially worked out. And Kyle Shanahan.
I was going to say Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco is another one.
Would have been a really another good one for him.
And McVay with the Rams.
Pete Carroll up in Seattle would have been a good one for him. But luckily he's in Kansas City and we don't have to worry about that anymore.
There you go. The only question remaining is will this kismet this produce championships in Kansas City, we're going to find out. With the Chiefs, who haven't been to a Super Bowl in 50 years, can pull it off. But I think they're playing as well overall as I think you could have hoped for December 22nd after some of the way the season's developed with the new defensive coordinator. And with the injuries Mahomes dealt with, things like that.
All right, and your final question comes from Jason. Will Andy ever put the hammer down on a team?
Yes, it will be against New England in the AFC divisional round.
All right. A brief answer, I love it.
Yeah, the Chiefs are going to win that game 76-0.
Oh, of course. They would have a score like that.
All right. Well, Nick, I just want everybody to know that I have already scheduled my Christmas tweet to 4th and 1 podcast followers. It will come out Christmas morning, so everybody be sure to check Twitter.
Did you take a photo of me as Cousin Eddie that I don't know about?
Let me just say that the phrase Nicky the Cool is included in the tweet, okay?
Oh, so you finally remember that photo like a month and a half, 2 months later?
Oh, no, I've been holding on to it for 3 months for Christmas.
I don't believe you.
Well, you don't have to believe me. It's there.
Okay. I will wait eagerly for this.
I'm proud of myself. I'm happy.
Oh boy.
I'm also going to tweet a lot of Dolphins gifts this week.
All right.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. Merry Christmas, kids.
All right. Time's up.